Well, welcome everyone. I'm just glad to be with you again today. We're just going further and further into Let the Redeemed of the Lord Say So. And today we're actually going to be shifting gears as we finish what we're redeemed from and then begin to focus on what we're redeemed to. And there's a lot of material in today that I really want you just to listen with your heart. And you're going to have to go back and look at some of these because I think today is a faith-building day. That we're going to see the Lord's heart toward us and what He wants us to be able to do as we live free from the curse of the law, but as we live under the blessing. So let me pray quickly and we'll just jump right in. Father, we thank You for Your word. We expect today to get revelation that will build our faith so that our confidence in Your desire for the way we'll are to walk in this world will increase so that we can step into those things. And Father, I especially ask that during these tough times with all the different things that's going on in the world and wars and rumors of wars and the weather, different weather situations, that we be prepared for such a time as this. I just sense this is so important that we be able to be distinguished from the world. And this certainly does it as we walk in Your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray and say amen. So last week we talked about so much that I've been redeemed from. Now I want to go quickly through a couple of verses and I'm going to skip some things today in Galatians because we're going to come to it later and go through it in a little more detail. Psalms 107 verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let them declare. Let us publish. Let us command. And then, why can we do that? Because we are He whom He has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. And so we've started in these past weeks to begin to say some things. And I can't encourage you enough to continue that. It is so important. Again, I want to say, when you hear yourself say these scriptures out loud, that has more authority for the power that's in them to be released in your life than it does if I'm saying them or someone else is saying them. That anointing is on the word. You speaking that anointed word is an anointing that will build and grow in you. Now, in Galatians 3, just summarize it, we've seen that we're redeemed from the curse of the law. We've been made heirs of Abraham. And that we are blessed. And that's what we're going to really jump into this morning, the latter one. Now, we talked last week about beginning to say several things. Two items that are great news. And what are they? They're gospel. They are that good news. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. And Father does not want me to have any of these curses manifesting in my life. So last week, we looked at scriptures that would tell us what we are redeemed from. And we saw that it's in every area of our life, from a soulish realm and a spiritual realm. And we were really taken out of the curse, out of the dominance in our spirit man, and given a new creature. We are a new being, one that didn't exist before. So in Deuteronomy 28, we saw some of these things. Verse 21, we saw that we are free or redeemed from the pestilence. And that meant diseases, plagues, or we might even say pandemics, as like we've experienced in recent years. In verse 22, it mentioned infectious diseases. And that really refers to fevers and inflammation and colds. There was a phrase in there about high fevers, and that some translations actually use the words malaria or strep, or streptococcus, to say it the correct way. Verse 27, we saw that botch that even sounds so bad. We saw that can mean boils and ulcers. We saw tumors be used in there or places that would swell like edemas. We even saw one that included the concept of skin cancer. And then we saw the itch, which is allergies and other skin diseases like eczema. So these are not things that were just there back in the day. They're here today also, and we're going to see more of that as we wrap this up today. Now, I want to take a minute and spend just a little more time on verse 28. That verse had three things in it. It talked about madness, and it talked about bewilderment. Now, the reason I want to do that is because I think this is a really critical area for us, particularly I find for myself as I'm beginning to age. Madness literally meant insanity, losing your mind. The phrase astonishment of heart is used a couple of times, as well as the word bewildered, which can mean confusion of mind, unstable. One translation actually says crazy. Now, we said last week together, so let's say it again. I will never, ever lose my mind. Now, what can we declare? We can say that. We can declare that fact of what we're free from. But we can go on and say, I am quick, I am sharp, I am bright, I am smart. And we just declare with that, we have the mind of Christ. Now, one of the things that I pointed out, and I want to reiterate it today because it is so important in case someone's listening who wasn't here. If you haven't heard last week, go back and listen to it. But I made the statement to you last week, when we say that I am confused or I just feel like I'm losing my mind, what we are doing is making an identification with the curse. And you say, well, I don't really mean it, I just say it. The devil takes things very legalistically. We don't operate in that realm, but he tries to. And in this situation, he thinks he has openings and he'll attack. And he will get things like songs, movies, TV shows, books, anything you can get your hands on, all these different kind of things, he'll use to make you think about these, to see others going through it. And all he's doing is hoping to get you to say some words similar because, again, he's looking for a connection to be able to bring the curse to you. Now, this is what I said last week, and I've got a couple of interesting reactions, but I'm sincere in this. We need to be more careful about saying some of these types of words than we are in saying what we might consider a curse word or a word that maybe is just not proper. Now, why do I say this? Because when we are saying these words about ourselves, we are literally speaking these over ourselves or speaking damnation over ourselves. But we just need to stay with the truth, which is, I have the mind of Christ. I have His peace. I am quick, sharp, bright, smart. The curse has no place in me, and Father does not want me to have the curse. So that's what we need to be saying as the redeemed of the Lord. And that's the first of the things that we need to say. I'm redeemed of the curse. Father doesn't want me to have the curse. But today we're going to begin to take a look and see some things that we can begin to say. We'll probably have two more sessions after today on the blessing part of it. But we're going to finish up on what we've been redeemed from. And then we're going to take a look at what we've been redeemed to, which we'll be talking about the blessing. So go to Deuteronomy 28 with me. And we've got 5, 6, maybe 7, 8 verses that we'll go through here. We looked at verse 65. That's where we're going to start. We looked at the first part of it last week. And that was a part that said, part of the curse is having no ease, no resting place for your foot. In other words, no peace. But I want to pick up on the second part of the verse. Because it says, when we get in that situation of no rest, no peace, it says, but there, where? In that place of no rest, no peace, the Lord will give you a trembling heart. We saw that similarly. Failing of eyes. And then this is the phrase that I picked up on. Despair of soul. Now, trembling heart, one translation says a quaking heart. A heart that is troubled. A place for fear and dread and all those kind of things to rise up. And we don't want that quick connection to the curse. But it's basically a place where there is absolutely no peace. But can I tell you, you're redeemed from that. Verse 66 goes on, and I've got that listed in your notes afterwards, but I want to read these sequentially. When we get to this place of no ease, no rest, and despair of soul, it says our life will actually hang in doubt before us. We shall be in dread day and night. No assurance that we'll have a life. Now, what is that? that's just getting to a point, again, where fear and dread, curse. What's going to happen? How do I know? Why? And we've seen that's wrong question to ask. He goes on to say then in 67 that it gets so bad so that in the morning we say, would that it would be evening. And in the evening we say, would that it be morning. Why? Because the dread, and you can substitute the word fear there, of our heart, which you dread, and for the sight of our eyes looking upon. In other words, what our eyes are seeing. So that is something that we've been redeemed from. We can have assurance of life, life abundantly here today, and life abundantly forever with the Lord. Now, I want to end up, I want to go back to verse 58, because at this point, he starts wrapping up some things about physical health. And what I'm about to say also applies to all the things we've just seen in these last few verses. 58 is really a summary of kind of what he said before. If you're not careful, or one translation says, if you're not diligent to observe all the words of the law which are written in this book. Now, again, this is talking about doing works to try to make the blessing and the curse come upon you and the curses to disappear. But he says, if you're diligent to observe all the words which are written in this book, to fear the honored and awesome name, the Lord your God. So if we're not careful to do that, if we don't have reverence for our God, then it says the Lord will bring, in verse 59, extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants. Now, one thing that I learned in studying this out is it talks about this area being things of genetic issues, things that may be passed down or maybe just occur for no cause at all. The thing I want to remind you, if that takes place, then we have the recourse of resisting this. It's part of the curse, and the Lord can reverse DNA just as well. And that is something that we're actually believing for with one of our grandchildren. The other thing that it goes on to say in this verse is even severe and lasting plagues. Now, lasting plagues, things that don't seem to go away, things that have been going, long-standing issues. Again, these are part of the curse, and what do we know? We're redeemed from these things. So what I would say there is, don't give up just over time. Stay fast with it. But now, you will be tempted to, but we don't have to yield to that. It goes on and says, miserable and chronic diseases. And these can be sores as well as sicknesses. But it's things that we see as, gosh, is it ever going to go away? Yes, you've been redeemed from these. Now, verse 60 goes back and said, and I'm going to even bring back to you all the diseases on Egypt of which you were afraid and they cling to you. And you say, well, what could they be talking about that we haven't talked about? Well, just remember some of the things that came against them. Darkness, which could be blindness. Lice, flies. Boils was part of the 10 curses that came upon the Egyptian people. And so those are things that, again, if we're not listening to and obeying and reverencing and walking in God's love. And how do we do that? By faith, in love, led by the Spirit, not performance-based. Then we can know we are free from these. And you may be saying then, but yeah, the thing I have has a name, but I don't see that name listed here. Look at verse 60, and we'll end with this one. 61, excuse me. Also, every sickness and every plague, which not written in this book of law. So it doesn't matter. As long as it has a name, then you are free from it according to this verse. You've been delivered from the curse that that thing tries to bring upon you. So basically, there's nothing that's trying to steal, kill, and destroy in your life that is not under the curse. But we don't have to worry about it. We've been redeemed from it, and Father does not want us to have it. Do you see the depth in the breadth of our redemption. Every evil work that tries to come against us, again, stealing, killing, destroying, we have been redeemed from it. Now, I want to move on to talking about the blessing, begin to talk about the blessing. But we may come back to on a couple of things that I want to really delve into deeply. We may come back and look at some of the things of the curse that we haven't talked about, just so we can see the depth, again, of the blessing and the depth and the magnificence of what we've been redeemed from. So, what are we redeemed to? And I'm going to tell you, do you remember when David was talking about the temple? He made the comment that the temple was magnificent. And that sounds like a made-up word to me, but it sounds like it must have been extraordinary. That's what you're going to find we're redeemed to. Now, I mentioned we'd get into Galatians 3, and that's what I want to do now. Head back to Galatians 3. Now, as we do this, we're going to be looking at some other verses. We're actually going to start, I guess you should go to Galatians 1, because we're going to begin there as we jump into this. And the reason I want to go back through this is these verses, because you're going to see the importance of faithfulness, God's faithfulness to His words of blessing, as we see this good news wrapped up in these verses here today. And I believe it's going to produce faith for us to be able to walk more abundantly in the blessing. Now in Galatians, Paul had been there. He'd preached to them the gospel, which includes the blessing, which includes health. We've seen all those things in this study, as well as a number of other things. And all of a sudden, he's writing them a letter, and he's concerned about some things. So let's start in verse 1 of Galatians 1. Paul, an apostle, and he clarifies how he got to be one, not sent from men, nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And then he's writing this from all who are with me, but he's writing it to the churches in Galatia. So this is written to believers, those who have believed and become what? Sons of Abraham. Heirs that we've been talking about, that he's about to talk about once again. And then he says to us in verse 3, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in saying this, he's reminding them grace is what? Something that is not earned. It's his unmerited love. It's all of the ability of God available to cause change in your life, to recreate this new man. And in it, we ought to be walking in peace, meaning there's nothing between us and God. No sin can get in the way. God has taken care of all of it. Peace is not talking about absence of war, except in the tone of there's no war going on between you and God. He's not warring against you. And then verse 4 picks up and says about Jesus, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us out of this present evil age according to the will of God our Father and Father. Now, I want to focus on this phrase, to deliver us out of this present evil age. So what is he talking about here? Deliver us to heaven from this evil age? Certainly, that's true. And if we were to pass to heaven tomorrow, we would be delivered from this evil age. But I believe with all my heart, he's also talking about to deliver us from the evil in this present age, which is what? All those things we just saw in the curse. Verse 5 goes on and says, to whom, talking about the Father and Jesus, be glory forevermore. Now, he's shifting then in these verses to an issue that has come upon the churches in Galatia. He says, I'm amazed. I might say, I'm appalled, or I'm shocked, or I can't believe that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ. So what he's saying is, you're backing away. You're not staying steadfast on the fact that you were saved by grace, that free gift of God. a key phrase. You're going to see that some more today. By the grace of Christ. And then he says, for a different gospel. Now, it's like he's confused. He's a bit not happy. I will start to say angry, and maybe that as well. And maybe they're confused also. But what's happening? They're moving away from the good news that was originally preached to them, the gospel, all the things that we've seen in that today in this study of Jesus for a different gospel. But look what he says in verse 7. He said, which is not really yet another. So he's saying, there's really not another gospel. There's only what? One gospel, one set of good news about Jesus. He says then that only there are some who are trying to disturb or confuse you. That's why I used the word confuse earlier. And they want to distort the gospel. Now, distortion is exactly what the devil does. Perversion, pervert something, to distort something. Same type concept, isn't it? So he's saying here that there's not another gospel, but the devil wants to distort it to make it so you don't receive what I would term to be the full gospel by distorting the one true gospel. Now, how does the devil do that? Well, he empowers men. He moves upon men. He plants thoughts himself in the minds, in our minds sometimes. But what is he doing? He's going back and picking up past traditions, past doctrines, Old Testament ways of doing things, our life's experiences where men didn't experience what we've come to know, and I know many of you have experienced concerning being set free from the curse. And so they're taking really the power, in most cases, out of the gospel. Or at least they're taking it out in what they think it ought to be, or what they've been perverted by the devil in their thinking to remove those elements that God wants in them. Now, again, influenced by the devil. But saints, for these folks, this is a dangerous thing, because in verses 8 and 9, Paul says, let those kind of people be accursed. It doesn't sound like there's a lot of hope for them if they remain steadfast in this. Now, what do we know about Paul? He tells us he's received the gospel from Jesus. He ministered it to him personally. And then the second thing we know, I want you to look in Galatians 2, the 5th verse. The first part talks about he did not yield in subjection to these that were trying to distort. But look at what he says in this last phrase. So that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. What does he want to do? He wants that truth of the gospel to stay steadfast in us, eventually, so that we can speak what that gospel says about us, part of the sword of the Spirit. He wanted them, and he wants us, to hold on to what I would term the gospel truth. Now, can I tell you that what we see in these verses is still happening today? Men are still doing this. That's how denominations, that's how fights over how to interpret scripture has come about. People who say, well, that was for a different time, a different season. But what they're missing is we're under the same dispensation, and Jesus doesn't change. What the Father wants us to do is to hold on to His word only, that truth, or I would say that gospel truth. So let me give you a couple of scriptures that testify to that. Luke, the 2nd chapter, when Jesus was born, the angels came, presented themselves to the shepherds. And listen to what it says. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. Now, when he says, behold, he's saying, I want you to see and earnestly pursue some of these things I'm saying here. An angel of the Lord stood before him, and the glory of the Lord shone around about him. They were greatly afraid. I can understand that. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Here's this word for behold again. I bring you good tidings. Now let's just stop right there. The word good tidings is two Greek words put together in the Greek, which is euaggelizo. Not going to try to pronounce it. It literally means to announce good news. Does that sound like gospel? Does it sound like, since it's coming from the voice of the Lord through the angels, gospel truth? And you know, if one of those two words that are used to make this up is the same root word that is translated gospel. So he says, I bring you good tidings, again, the gospel, of great joy, an important phrase, which will be to all people. In other words, it's available for everybody. Does that sound like some of the things that we've seen and heard previously about blessings available to all? Verse 11 then tells why. For there is born to you in this day the city of David, who is Christ the Lord. Now, that sounds like, and so we're going to take a look at it and see, that that's the same truth of the gospel that was spoken to Abraham. But Abraham knew at the time it was spoken. Look back in Genesis 12 with me, and let's go through verses 1 through 3 a little more in depth than we have when we started this study. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land I will show you. Now, I didn't say anything about this, but I want to tell you that we each need to go to the place that the Lord has for us, because there is where the blessing is. We each have a place where He wants us to be, and there is that blessing. You say, well, can you give me an example? Yes, Elijah told him twice. Go there to the brook Cherith, and I'll have what? The ravens feed you. Then the creek dried up by that brook, and he sent him to the widow lady, who was about to cook her last meal so that she and her son could eat it and then die. And she provided, because she did what the prophet told her, which the Lord showed him. That little bit of meal that she had sustained him and her family throughout. So here we see that being where the Lord tells us is important. Sometimes we make decisions to go where we can make the most money or the church that seems the friendliest. But sometimes the Lord may move you somewhere else and you're going to be more in line with receiving His blessing there than you could have possibly been when you were making more money and which you thought people were being kind to you. The second verse, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and so shall you be a blessing. Two things I want to pick up on. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. Both are in God's plans for you and I when we're at our Brook Cherith place, when we're in that place where He wants us. Now, you know that Scripture says it's more blessed to give than to receive. But let me remind you, you can't give what you don't have. I'll go on a rabbit trail, so I won't go there. Let me just say, here I'm talking not just about money or things, but I'm talking about giving away His love, giving away His peace, sharing your understanding of Scripture, revelation that you've been walking in. And then to verse 3, it goes on and says, I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Good tidings of great joy, which is for all people. You see, Abraham had the same thing preached to him that the angels declared in this earth once again. Now, where do we first see this blessing? We saw it in Genesis 1. Let me remind you of what the Lord said. I didn't write down scripture and verse. I think it's around 26. But God's spoken word to His man mirrored what He spoke to other living things, plants and animals and fish and birds. And here's what God said to man, kind of a summary of it. Then God blessed them. This was a deliberate act where He spoke words that we know what is a blessing. It's the power to increase, to multiply, to prosper. So He blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. And then here's this phrase, fill the earth. But not only fill it, but subdue it and have dominion over it. And then He tells us what to do. Now, when He says, fill the earth, make the earth full, in that is not just a replenishment to maintain a status quo. It is what? The ability, the power to increase. And it's worth noting that phrase, fill or make the earth full. So with this background then, I want to get to Galatians and get back reading some of it and seeing this gospel of truth, or might I say, the full gospel. Now that term for many of us raises some awareness. It's really what we've called ourselves as a church. We're part of a full gospel church. And I'm going to show you that that is a very important phrase. And what is that full gospel? Good news to all people, free from the curse, receiving the blessing. So in Galatians 3, 6 and 7, and we're going to not talk in detail. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him righteousness. So he didn't earn it. Therefore, be sure that it was those who are of faith, you and I, that we're what? Sons of Abraham. And then in verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, all the nations shall be blessed in you. Now, here we're seeing the gospel preached, and the blessing is an integral part of the gospel. You can't separate them. And then verse 9 tells us, so that we who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. Doesn't say we get a portion of what he has. It just says we're blessed with the same blessing that he was blessed with. We've gone from being heathens, Gentiles, to being believers who are able to receive the blessing. Now, I want you to go to Proverbs 10:22. This is a verse that I have used in teaching about biblical prosperity, and I think it's correct for that. But as I prepared for this, the Lord is has shown me that it entails much, much more than just financial, which is what we're thinking about, or an abundance of possessions or things. I'm not saying that's not a part of it now, so don't go there. Proverbs 10:22 says, it is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich. So what does the blessing do? It empowers us to become rich. And then it goes on and says, and he adds no sorrow to it. Now, the blessing, the good tidings of great joy. Amplified reads this way, the blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich. And he adds no sorrow with it, neither does toiling. So this one says truly rich. Now to me, that's meaning that it's a multifaceted thing, rich. And the contemporary English version actually says, when the Lord blesses you with riches. So the blessing enriches you and I. It's what causes. The blessing is what makes rich. It's a creative power to increase. And I'm going to tell you, it's rich in every way. Now, I'm going fast, but I'm going to slow down. And we're going to go a little bit longer today. But it's important that we get through this. Saints, this verse is talking about you and I being rich in every way, in every aspect of our life. In other words, rich in our place of position of being in Christ, in God, and He in us. Living that Zoe kind of life, that God kind of life that he talks about. So his will, his plan, his desire for good to me, to live a good, satisfied life, having an abundance, the 2 Corinthians 9:8 talks about, to meet our needs and then have it available to bless others. And that can be the financial part. Being healthy is a part of it. Being free from the dominion or control of the evil one is another part of it. Being kept or protected, as Peter says, by the power of God. And all this is to take place in my body, and you're going to see in your home, and even in our churches, in every way. Now, this really caused me to stop, and so I'm going to ask you the same question that the Lord asked me. Do you really think, Minton, that this is my desire for you? So you can ask yourself that same question. And what I'm seeing is there are times when I speak it, but the question the Lord asked was not just are you saying it, but are you speaking it from your heart with faith? In other words, is that in abundance in your heart? Do we truly, truly believe it? Now you may say, does the Lord really want that for me? Can you give me some scriptures that help me in that? Yes. So hang on. Ecclesiastes, 3rd chapter. Now this is the wisdom of Solomon that he's passing on. And in verse 12, New American Standard, he says, I know there is nothing better in life for them, talking about people, than to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. So he's saying, I know that you want men to have what they need and to do things properly to do good in their life. Now, I think about doing good in terms of Acts 10:38, how Jesus went about doing good and healing. I think those are also part of the blessing that's upon us. And then he says, moreover, starting verse 13, now I would say especially, that every man who eats and drinks sees good in all his labor. So he wants us to see good. That means literally to have it, that we can partake of it, that we can drink of it, that we can eat of it. And then look at that last phrase. It is the gift of God. So the gift of God and the blessing not only causes us to increase, but it's his desire, and the blessing will also cause us to enjoy the good of our labor. And what's the work that we do based on? Believing Jesus and his word, being led by the Holy Spirit. Now let me add to that. Give you another verse, Ecclesiastes 5, and we're going to read 18 through 20. Here he says, here is what I have seen to be good and fitting, or I might say, here's what I've seen to be good and right or true. To eat, to drink, and enjoy oneself in all the labors, in other words, partaking of the benefit, the value of what God's called you to do, in which he toils under the sun, during the few years of his life which God has given him. Here again, look at what it says. For this is his reward. So what is included in this reward? Not only the Lord's blessing working to bring things about in our life and give us good things, but we're to also to enjoy it. Now 19 goes on and says, furthermore, or in addition, as for every man who God has given riches and wealth. Now again, I take riches there as multifaceted as we've been talking about. Let me start again. For as every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, he has also empowered him. Now what is that empowerment? How is it coming to him? Through the blessing. He's empowered him to eat from them, to receive his reward, and to rejoice. Some translations use the word enjoy. In his labor, and look what he says again, this is the gift of God. That is part of his grace that he wants for us. Now, verse 20 is a really interesting one because it says, when we live this way, talking about this man, it says, for he will not often consider the years of his life. He won't sit here, I won't sit here worrying about how long am I going to live, what's going to happen tomorrow, what's the future hold. Why won't I do that? Because God keeps me occupied with the gladness or the joy. Remember we heard the angels say that, great joy of my heart. In other words, I'm so consumed with God and what he's doing in and of my life, I don't think about tomorrow. I don't worry about how long. I just keep doing what he's got for me day after day, and everything seems to take care of itself. Saints, that's God's real desire for us. Can I say it this way? I used this phrase earlier. To walk in the fullness of the blessing. To make the blessing full. To have the blessing be full in our lives today. Ask the question, is that really scriptural? Romans 15:29. Paul says, I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. The blessing of God. Well, can you give me another one? Yes. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, instruct those who are rich, not just finances now. I want you to think about this being rich in every aspect of your life. For those who are rich in this present world, not to be conceited or fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches. In other words, some things can change, particularly things with money, but on God. And here's the phrase, who richly supplies us with what? All things. Peace, hope, love, revelation, finances, health, joy. It goes on and on. Who richly supplies us with all things to do what? To enjoy. So what do we see? The blessing makes us rich, but it's not limited to finances. Now let me just tell you as we close up here, I've seen very wealthy people who were not blessed at all. I could no way call them blessed. I saw this as I worked with senior executives in a major corporation that I worked with. I saw people who were very rich, but their only concern was to get more power, to get more control. They weren't doing it for others. They were doing it to build up themselves. And I've seen others, including men and women who worked on that same floor who I was working for, serving. I saw those who I would say they were blessed, some exceedingly abundantly blessed. But yet there was one common thing with them. They were joyful. They valued what they were doing, and their focus was not just on getting more. Their focus was on having what they needed to be a blessing through their work in the corporation to others. So the bottom line here, and this is what we're going to begin, I want you to focus on during this next week as we get ready to go through the blessing in Deuteronomy 28. The blessing is the power to increase. The blessing is not money. It is not cars. It is not jewels. It's not whatever you want to put it in there. Houses, homes. The blessing, and notice I'm saying the blessing with the article Z, and I normally place this in all caps. The blessing is not just blessings. It is an empowerment to prosper. Think about it. It's what the Lord spoke to Adam. First thing that Adam heard. They were blessed. It says God blessed them saying. It's the first thing Abraham heard. Move away to where I'm going to show you. I will bless you and you'll be a blessing and it will be for all men. The first commandments that he spoke to them. And so we're going to pick up here next week and begin to just delve into different aspects of the blessing so that we can see that God wants to do this for us. And the reason he does is so that he will get the glory through us. Saints, I'm going to tell you, I believe we're teaching us this now because it's part of the gospel we need to walk in. It's part of the good news we need to have evident in our lives and through our lives for others as times seem to get darker and darker. Remember, the darker, the more grace, the more blessing we'll be walking in. Sorry to go a little long, but it's a good point to stop. Still didn't get through all I wanted to. But we look forward to talking next time, next session, next week about the blessing of the Lord working in our lives.